Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Years ago when I pastored in Statesboro, one thing about preaching systematically, expositionally through a book, you don't just say, well, I'm going to preach today on this subject. You come to topics that in the text, like Brother Kim, when he preaches, he didn't just wake Monday morning, he just sat and said, well, I'm going to preach on this because somebody needs it. You come to it as you're preaching through the Bible. That's how we learn. That's how we grow, to learn the Bible, what it says in context. And so I was happened to be preaching, and I just happened to be preaching on giving. And we had a visitor that day. And when I got done preaching, the lady said to me, she said, you Baptists, preachers, all you want is money. And she had more problems than money. It just so happened to be, I think, a day that we were doing our VBS commencement service or something other where we had them stand for the pledge. I don't remember. She didn't even like standing for the flag. And so she had more issues than giving. And so, anyways, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. And I want to preach tonight on the subject, abound to every good work. Abound to every good work. Beginning in verse 6, and this is what the Bible says. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, that word cheerful, and we'll get to it in a minute, actually in the Greek it means hilarious. Hilarious. Okay? Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, we come to you tonight. Thank you for the song services. Every song that was sung tonight was talking about heaven, about that place one day we will leave, either through rapture or one by one as we leave this world at the point of time. And I pray, God, that our lives will be ready. We'll be ready spiritually to make that transition one day. And as we go in your presence, we're mindful that in your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, we're looking forward for that. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation that you have given us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might know, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Lord, tonight, I pray if there be one here that doesn't have a relationship with Christ, that the very first thing they'll do tonight is to trust Christ, be born again. I pray for those here in our church, but also watching a live stream, those who will tune in tonight or later. God, that they'd be convicted and be drawn by the Holy Spirit to a place of being saved. Lord, we ask that you would teach us tonight from your word. Thank you for our pastor tonight that you have put us under. Thank you for our church that you have given us. Thank you for my brothers and sisters for their faithfulness, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How can we abound to every good work? In chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, there's a great example of the churches of Macedonia and how that they were bound to every good work, which began with their joyful willingness, number one, to help the Apostle Paul in his journey as he preached the gospel, but also to help the church at Jerusalem. And they were a great example as they did the Lord's work. They were a great example. Number one, because they gave in their affliction. They gave when they didn't have it to give. And not only did they give when they didn't have it to give, they willingly gave. It wasn't out of necessity. It was out of joy. It's because it's something they wanted to do to make a difference for the gospel's sake. And, you know, and these churches were made up of several churches. We think of the churches of Macedonia as being one church, but there were several church plants that, namely in northern Greece, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, and there were others as well. And so these were churches made up of the Macedonian area that came together and despite of their trials and persecution and deep poverty, they came together and they gave resources to the furtherance of the gospel. Not long ago, in our church, we heard a man named John Mills, who helped missionary, that talked about Nepal and talked about a church that was trying to build a church and the need for them to raise money to finish that building. Well, our church recently overwhelmingly gave the funds for them to complete their building project. Amen? And yet, we look at our bulletin, as Brother Ken mentioned a few minutes ago, we're not suffering. We've done live stream. We've done things all throughout the year. And God continually gives so that we can abound to every good work. Amen? And so He continually gives. It does not deplete. And why do I mention this? Well, it falls in line with tonight's message. For several weeks, as I have been reading and studying 2 Corinthians on my own personally, I could not get away from verse 8. And I couldn't get away from the phrase that we may abound to every good work. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to abound. He didn't want us to be status quo Christians. Amen? He didn't want us to be status quo churches. And I'm sorry to say, there are a lot of churches that are status quo. He wants us to be over and abound. He says abound. He wants to give. The more we give out, the more we serve, the more we joyfully give, God gives it back and keeps giving. And listen, but if we just keep it and hoard it, I pastored some of the churches that hoarded the money. And they thought it was their money. One church I pastored years ago, east of Athens, they had an account, Brother Ken, they had one account, they had $50,000 in, and they had another account, $30,000, another account, $20,000. And I thought, my goodness, y'all going to leave this for the devil. I'm telling you, we need to use this money. And they acted like it was their money. And so, but we've done all these things, and God wants us continually to bless others, to, number one, take care of the church, but number two, and we'll talk about it in a few moments, He wants us to reach out into the community. Now, there are some churches that focus solely on social gospel, and I believe we need to be careful that we don't just deplete our funds for social gospel. The Bible tells us to take care of the household of faith first. Amen? And so, So the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. And so while we are not saved by good work, it does not excuse us from carrying out the good work that God calls us to. So the Macedonian churches stood as an example, a shining example of how the church was to give. While there are many avenues and adventures and fulfillments to be involved in, let me assure you, there's none greater than the local church. None greater than the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, you say that because you're a preacher. No, I say that because I believe that. Amen? At 12 years of age, God saved me. At 16 years of age, He called me to preach. And I've been doing preaching and teaching and involved in some sort of ministry since that time. And I believe there's no greater fulfillment than to be involved in the Lord's work. Collectively, as the body of Christ, we come together to serve, to give ourselves and of our resources. And as we do, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You know, there's much work to be done in the church. Brother Ken said, 20% do 80%. And that's true, and that's in every church I've ever been in. It's always been the 20% people that are doing the majority of the work. And that's sad. It should not be that way. It takes resources to be used to do ministry and missions. One church I pastored, and we started in Awana's children's ministry. And what is Awana's? It means approved workmen are not ashamed. It's about memorizing Scripture. And so when I went to that church in Statesboro, they had different children's ministries, and I heard them say, well, none of them are going to last, and Awana's is not going to last. But that's where our faith is. The biggest problem in the church is unbelief. Amen? And so this one lady said, Brother Robert, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. Today, I've been gone from there since, we've been gone from since 2007. Awana's is still going on at Oak Grove Baptist Church. When I say that, in our first year, we saw 21 children, youth, and adults come to know Christ. I baptized 19 of them. I'm telling you, when you invest in the kingdom of God, you invest in children, you invest in youth. Listen, we invested in children, and God brought the moms and dads. And the moms and dads got saved. Hallelujah. Amen? That's what church is about. That's what we ought to get excited about, doing ministry, doing the gospel. It takes all of us. See, God can use His power. He's able to take His power to make inroads where you and I thought was not possible, into communities and missions and ministries. It does matter that we give. It does matter how we give. But notice this next. It also does matter that what we give to. Notice I didn't say how much we give. Now, there is a pre-planned, systematic approach of how what we ought to give. We'll talk about that in a minute. But God is more interested in the heart of your giving. Like this morning I talked about worship in Sunday school. God is more interested in your heart, in your worship. God is more interested, is my heart right when I'm preaching? Amen? And when you're listening. Amen? Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So how can we abound to every good work? Well, it begins with how we give. Notice the churches of Macedonia. They were the example. The choice. There's the choice to give generously, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. I have known a lot of generous Christians, but I've also met a lot of stingy Christians. I have seen God use people that were willing to give to the kingdom work. There's a lady in Dawsonville. Her and her husband, they were Catholic. And they came to Lighthouse. both her and her husband had no children, no family, older, and they both got saved at Lighthouse, and they both made a commitment that before they passed, Henry had already died, but then his wife said, I don't want to wait till I die, I want to go ahead. They donated 33 acres to Lighthouse Baptist Church. Well, at the time, it was zoned residential, but it was being rezoned for commercial because a large business in Dawsonville wanted to buy that to expand their business. See, what I'm telling you is when you give out, you can't outgive God, let me tell you. I think they sold it for like $8.4 million. They paid off their loan. They're building a, is it a two-story, Melissa, building for their Christian school. They took a large portion of that money and is doing mission work with it. And so listen, I've seen Christians that are generous. See, they saw what others did not. And unfortunately, sometimes we become the biggest hindrance to the work of God in the church because of our short-sightedness. The Apostle Paul said, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So listen, if you don't give, and listen, giving is more than financially. That's only a small, very portion. God wants you to give of your service. Listen, the Macedonians, they were willing to serve the Lord. You would think in the pandemic that we're in, and the last days we're in, Brother Ken, and how bad things are, and how wicked this world is, how sinful this world is, you would think the Christian church would be on fire for Jesus, knowing that Jesus could part the sky at any moment to call his church home. And yet we find total opposite, we're more lazier. Amen? Come on. I'm including myself. We're more lazier. We're discontent. We're hanging on to every word the preacher says that we like or don't like. Amen? Hey, folks, let's get on board. Let's get on the bus. It's going by. It's not a short bus either. It's a bus. We got to get on and go for Jesus. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Spiritually speaking, we find many this way. They cannot grasp a hold of their church being more than it is. Some don't want it more than it. When I was in Bible college, they told us that you're going to go to some of these country churches and they're going to be set in their ways, us four no more, and don't try to move us. That's the truth. We find here in verse 6, it's the law of the harvest. You sow a little, you're going to reap a little. You sow much, you're going to reap much. God does not force one to give. It is a choice. It's like salvation. God does not force himself on somebody. Amen? It's a choice you make to place your faith. And when you're convicted of the Holy Spirit and you don't respond, you can't blame God. Can't blame God anyways, right? So the choice to give generously is at your doorstep. So why should the Corinthians give generously? Well, one writer said this, they gave for two reasons. A principle holds true in both the natural and spiritual spheres. The size of a harvest corresponds to the scope of the sowing. Material given may produce spiritual harvests. And so as you give of your resource, you give of yourself, you give of your time, you give to the children's ministry, you give to whatever area God's called to, you just give willingly. It's a heart attitude. God can bring that blessing back to you. We invest financially in people's lives. We invest financially in the church, in our community, and we may see a spiritual harvest. And so we're to give generously. It's not just in some churches they get all bent out of shape because some churches are focused, but they just invest in children and the youth, not in adults. And I believe a church has got to, you got to minister to everybody across the board. Senior saints are important, right? Single are important. Couples are important. Young couples, older couples. Listen, we minister to everybody, but everybody's taking their gift that God has given him and being involved in the work of God. The reason we're crippled is because we're not all serving. And so, listen, God doesn't want you to give so that cobwebs can grow on it, but he wants you to give and cast it upon the waters. And so the example of the Macedonian churches was that even in their deep poverty and trial of affliction, they gave generously to the work of the gospel. Number two, they were Christ-like in their giving. They gave joyfully. Now, you can give generously. I hear people say, well, I just write a check and give generously. But not everyone does it joyfully. Not everyone does it with a good attitude, a heart attitude. Some do it to get something back out of it. Some do it, you know, Jesus said when you give your alms, don't announce the trumpet. Don't play the trumpet. Hey, look at me, look what I'm giving. No. Do it secretly, joyfully. Amen? And so let God is, he's the one that you want to please. And so I've seen folks give generously, and many are joyful givers. And yet some have a different alternative. But notice what he said in verse 7. Notice that word, every. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a hilarious, I'm going to put the word, the Greek, cheerful giver. Let me ask you a rhetorical question. That means don't answer me, okay? Do you give with a pre-planned purpose in your heart? What do I mean? Do you find yourself when the offering plate passes that you just pull out a wad of cash and throw it in and don't know how much you put in or the lack thereof? Anyone seen that movie, was it Courageous? Flywheel. Well, he puts a tithing envelope in the plate and it's empty, nothing in it, but he gave the appearance that he gave something. Do you prepare earlier in the week or that morning? Do you talk to God, in other words, how much you give or should give? Let me ask you, when a farmer goes out to sow, there's some preparation for him before he sows, right? He didn't just say, there's my field, I'm not going to plow it, I'm not going to do anything to it. He don't just go out there and waste his seed and just throw it anywhere. He sows, he plows, he prepares, he waits for the rain, he continues to work that field. And same thing as a believer, there ought to be some preparation. Notice what he said, verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart. And so there ought to be some preparation that takes place. There ought to be some pre-planning that goes into our giving. You know, people, I've seen people... One church I was in, here in Thomasville, a family member of Melissa's. Notice I said you. I've heard people making change in the offering plate, but I actually saw it with my eyes. The plate passed, she threw in 20 and grabbed out 10. I was like, what? Lord help. Anyways, we're to do it systematically, purpose. Notice we're not to give grudgingly or selfishly. Not a grudging obligation. God doesn't need our money, right? He doesn't necessarily want money. He wants your heart. He wants you to give it. He wants you to serve, wants you to worship, wants you to pray in the right spirit. Amen. And so notice, he says, neither are we to give of necessity, of compulsion. Thankfully, our ushers, well, maybe some might carry, but they're not pointing a gun to your head and say, okay, where's your tithe this week, buddy? That's a good idea. Erase that. Pause on holding the last stream. We're to give cheerfully, joyfully, because God, again, loves a hilarious giver. Notice also cheerfully, also it speaks of, it's an attractive thing. It's attractive when we give. Because others see it, others are blessed by it, and others participate in it. What is the result when we give rightfully, joyfully, willingly? What happens to the church? There are two things that happens to the church in verse 8. Number one, when we give rightfully, willfully, joyfully, generously, cheerfully, there's confidence created in the fellowship of the church. Confidence in who? In God. See, where someone may have been struggling to trust God with their life, with their money, with their finances, when they see the church, when they see people give and see how God blesses, it creates confidence in the believer. Listen, the Bible says, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Did He say some of my need? All. So, people ask me, and this is a conversation that happens all the time with people I work with or wherever I'm at. I'll stop at the gas station and get gas. I had a clerk one time in Dawsonville bug me to death about buying a lotto ticket. And I said, listen, I'm not buying a lotto ticket. I don't care what, I don't care if there's $10 billion, I'm not buying a lotto ticket. And he harassed me. Finally, I just wanted to drive off. You know, I just got really ill with him. But I actually stood there and I told him why I wasn't buying a lotto ticket. It's because when I buy a lotto or lottery, it's saying I want man to meet my needs rather than God. When I pastored in another church in East Georgia, another thing I didn't believe in was raffling. I don't believe we had to beg lost people to support the church. Amen? And I had a man in the church argue with me. We were having a youth fundraiser to take a youth mission trip, and they said, well, we're going to donate this brand new chainsaw. I said, you go right ahead, but we're not having raffling in the church. And all the deacons voted against me in the deacons meeting. 12 deacons voted against me. I said, I want you to know that on business meeting, I will get up before the church and I will tell them that your pastor is against raffling and we're not going to do it. Now, you guys can vote against me. You can go ahead with it. Before that following Sunday, all of them decided they'd back out. What I'm saying is that we need to trust God to meet our needs, right? Because it builds confidence. Because when you have a need in your life, a bill that needs to be paid, we're not to run down and just charge it or run down and borrow money from the bank. Let's trust God to meet. And sometimes the church needs to step in and help. And so there's confidence created in the church. When we respond the right way, with the right attitude, the heart and sowing and giving, God is then able to make all grace abound towards you. In other words, what God is saying here, God is able to supply us with resources so that we will not only have sufficiency of ourselves, our needs met, but also the church's needs met. And Why? And he has a purpose so that we can continually abound to every good work and that of sharing with others and thus have an abundance to carry the gospel. Warren Wiersbe said this about verse 8. He said, notice the alls of this verse. He said in verse 8, all grace, all sufficiency, all things, every good work. Nothing is left out. This is God's promise to those who obey Him. This word sufficiency is found again in 3:5, in chapter 12, verse 9, where God is faithful to supply what we need spiritually, materially, and physically. I could write a book of all the times God has met our needs in ways I had never seen coming down the road. From large amounts to small amounts. We shared the story not too long ago, but we'd come back, we'd forgot sugar at the grocery store, and the lady in our church was driving by the pastorium, and she, as she passed by, she said, I wanted to leave something that, and the only thing I could think about leaving on your door was a bag of sugar. God knew that we forgot it. Nobody else knew that. And so, how does giving generously, cheerfully build confidence in believers? Because when we give in this manner, God meets our needs, blesses us with abundance so that we can help others. And then finally, I know you're ready to go, right? Number four, the second, it builds confidence, but number two, it builds contentment in the church. We become content with our relationship with Christ. We're not running after everything in the world. We're content. We're content with meeting, dispersing out what God has given us. It's a long passage here, but the Bible uses the word poor. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, we see where all she had was a little oil. They were about ready to die. We went in a deep famine during that time. And all she had was a little bit. And God made it last until the famine had ended. God gives us resources. She gave what she had, and she lacked not. Listen, and let me say this. You want to see the power of God in your life? Go back to the principles of sowing and reaping. You want to see God do something in your life? Listen, I don't want to get, if God allows me to be 80 years old or 60 years old, I don't want to get to the end of my life and not done one thing in my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ to make a difference. I want God to use me in exceedingly, abundantly, awesome ways for Him. And you want to see the power of God do a great work in your life? Help to meet those without. Poor, give them the gospel. When you feed them a meal, give them the gospel. Tell them why you're doing it. Not because we're good, it's because of God's good. Amen? We make a choice to give, we give cheerfully. In verse 10, he prayed that God would supply the seeds and multiply them. He prayed that God would increase the fruits of their righteousness. And that's what happens when we give. And we do it joyfully, willingly, liberally. God just keeps pouring and blessing the church. And the final reason we give is because of verse 15, is because of the unspeakable gift that God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's why. God doesn't do anything else for you the rest of your life. We give, we go, we teach, we preach, we reach, we feed because of Jesus. And if it's any other purpose, you miss the mark. Lord, I thank you for the message tonight. I pray, God, that I know in my own life, we've seen your blessings. We've seen how you've helped us in ways we thought not possible. In our churches that I pastored, been a part of, even the church at Lighthouse we were part of, we've seen your hand because believers gave joyfully, generously, willingly of their lives first and then of their resources. And Lord, I know we could all do better, including myself. Show us, Father, tonight of where we need to correct, of where we need to repent. And we get that right tonight, that we'd make a difference in our church and in our community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Brother Kenneth.